Tonight, we are going to continue our discussion, and tonight's shiur is entitled Morning, Afternoon, and Night, the Three Gateways of Prayer. And in tonight's discussion, what I'm hoping to do is enable each and every one of us to walk away with somewhat of a, I hope, an enhanced, enriched perspective, if you will, on not just davening in general, but particularly when it comes to the concept of daily prayer, three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv, to understand and to focus perhaps a little more clearly than maybe we have in the past as to what exactly those three points in time offer us. Are they just three times in which we come back, pray, and essentially do the same thing again and again and again, albeit with certain changes, obviously, in terms of the format, the details? Obviously, the tfilos are different, but is it just, you know, davening again and again and again? Or is Shachris sort of fundamentally and maybe experientially completely different than Mincha, and Mincha is different than Mariv, etc.? So I'm hoping tonight to present three different perspectives. I'm not sure how we're going to divide our time. We'll sort of see how we go along. The first one perhaps is the most important of all because it is the most practical and allows us to focus on the three prayers of the day, specifically focusing on the time of the day in which we pray. So before we go perhaps a little deeper beneath the surface and think about it on more of a conceptual level, really just to focus upon what it means to daven in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening and the nighttime. So the first source that we're going to take a look at is the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chavav Amud Beis, teaches the following. Well, this we actually saw in some form earlier, that the Gemara records two opinions as to whether or not the origin of the Tfilos are the Avos, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, or perhaps they were instituted Keneged Tmidin, or they were instituted in a way of taking the place of Karbanos. And the Gemara basically says that we have two different opinions, both of which can be supported by a Braisa. And it's the second opinion that I'd like to focus on right now, Tanya Kavased Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. There is a Braisa which supports the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, where the Braisa teaches as follows, Avram Tikin Tfilas Shachris. Avram was the one who instituted Tfilas Shachris. Shenemar, as it says, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Lamakum Asher Amad Sham. The Torah tells us that Avram got up in the morning, and he stood in the same place where he had previously. And Chazal say when it says, Amad in Amida El Tfila, Amad doesn't just mean he stood there previously, but it means he stood in prayer. Shenemar, we have another pasuk, Vayamod Pinchas Vayipalel, that tefillah is associated with Amida. So from here we see that Avram instituted tefillah Shachris. Yitzchak tikkun tefillas Mincha, says the Gemara, Yitzchak Avinu was the one who instituted tefillas Mincha because it says, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnos arev, towards the evening, Yitzchak went to converse, if you will, in the field, ve'insicha latefillah, conversing. In this context, is understood as prayer. Shenemar, as it says, Tfilo la'ani ki yato filifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. We have another pasuk from Tehillim, which seems to indicate that tefillah expresses sicha. And finally, Yaakov instituted tefillas arvis, what we call mariv. Shenemar, as it says, vayifka b'makom vayolan sham vein pekiya letefillah. So basically, the Gemara, citing this braisa, tells us that Avram instituted tefillas shachris, Yitzchak instituted mincha, and Yaakov instituted Tfilas, Mariv Tfilas Arvis. That's a very interesting idea. On the surface, the Gemara is simply telling us that there is a separate source, if you will. There is a different point in time, in history, in which each and every one of these Tfilos was sort of rolled out, if introduced to the world, if you will. But obviously, I think we can all appreciate that there must be something deeper here. There must be something more profound. And specifically, as I said when we began tonight's discussion, what I'd like to do is focus on the unique quality, the unique contribution, if you will, of Shachris, of Mincha, and Amariv. Each and every one of these points throughout the day allow us to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from somewhat of a unique perspective. So what I'm going to present now, I'm going to try to do it in sort of sequential order, starting with Shachris. I'm going to try to give you a unique perspective on Shachris, a unique perspective on Mincha, and then Amariv. So as far as Shachris is concerned, there's of course so much we can discuss, but I would like to focus on the following. Previously, and I don't think it was the most previous year, but maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, we spoke about the concept of the Birchos HaShachar, the brachos that we recite in the morning, in which we express our praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the wonderful gifts that he gives us. The source from this actually comes from a Gemara in Brachos Daf Samech. I didn't record the Gemara here on the sheet, but the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Zayin, tells us that when Chazal instituted the Tefillos, they also were Mesakin Brachos Acheros Levarach Osan B'chol Yom. There were certain brachos, certain blessings they instituted that we should be reciting on a daily basis. And the Gemara over here, the Rambam walks us through the same approach that we find in the Gemara, and that is that these brachos, these blessings, are to be recited at specific points in the morning, that we are doing certain things, we are experiencing certain moments, and precisely as we are experiencing these moments, we are to elevate, sanctify, we are to take a moment and reflect upon where the source of our blessing is. And at these moments, timed almost perfectly, we say thank you for this and thank you for that. So for example, says the Rambam, again, this is all based on the Gemara, but I'm choosing to share the Rambam because it's a little more clear and because I want to show you the Rambam's question that he raises, which is not found in the Gemara. So for example, the Rambam writes, B'sha sheyikatz, when a person wakes up in the morning, B'sof shnaso, when he finishes his night's sleep, Mevarech v'hu amitaso, he should make a bracha while still in bed. And what is the bracha that he recites? Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorahi. When a person wakes up in the morning, there's a bracha that he recites, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for restoring his soul to his body. Then the Rambam goes on to tell us when a person hears the sound of the roosters, he makes a bracha, hanosein lasech vivino lavchim ben yom vein laila. When a person starts to get dressed, kishalovesh begadav, a person should recite the bracha of Malbish Arumim. When a person puts a covering on his head, he recites the bracha of Oter Yisrael b'safara, when he puts his hat on. When a person removes literally his hands from his eyes, clearing his face, washing his face in the morning, he should recite the bracha of Pokeach Ivrim. When a person sits up in bed, he should recite the bracha Matira Surim, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has sort of freed me from being bound when I was sleeping at night. When a person places his feet on the ground, the bracha that's recited is Vokahara Tzalamayim. When a person stands up, Zokif Kafufim. When a person washes his hands, Al Natila Sedayim. When a person washes his face, Amavir Chevlishena, Meinois, Mami Efapai, etc. And then the Gemara, the Rambam says that Shmonas Abrachos Elu, these 18 blessings, Ein Lehem Seder, the order, the sequence is not what's most important. Rather, the bracha is to be recited, as I mentioned already, precisely at the moment that I am doing something which reflects the particular shevach, the praise that I am seeking to highlight in this bracha. In other words, says the Rambam, it is so important when reciting these brachos, not to just do so in either any random fashion or even following a set order. These brachos should be recited precisely at those moments at which I am doing something which reflects that which it is that I would now like to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am so grateful that you are source for all of the bracha of my life. Now, some of you may be wondering, but that's not what we do. That's not what we do. We come to shul, typically, and in shul we open the siddur and we recite the brachos in order, you know, exactly what the Rambam says not to do. Well, it's really the Gemara. So the Rambam says over here in Halacha Tes, Nagu ha'am barov areinu, says the Rambam, it has become very customary in many of our cities, levarech brachos eluzu acharzu bebeis hakeneses. It has become customary, many people have the custom of reciting these brachos in shul, one after the other, bein ischayvu behen, bein lo ischayvu behen, whether or not they have done something which sort of obligates them, connects them, binds them at that particular moment to this bracha. In other words, says the Rambam, it has become customary to do exactly what we do, what we are familiar with. And says the Rambam, v'ta'us hu. This is a mistake. It's not right. V'in roi lasos kein. You should not do this. V'lo yivarech bracha, elun kein eschayiv ba. The Rambam insists that it is necessary that we follow the approach that is outlined in the Gemara. The Gemara, which tells us that these brachos are to be recited precisely at the moments and time in which we do something which warrants the recitation of this bracha, that's when we are supposed to recite these brachos. But yet the Rambam does not endorse in any way whatsoever the approach that we take, namely to recite these brachos in a particular order. So you may be wondering, so why do we do it the way we do it? What is the source, if you will, for that? So there are different explanations that are brought down in the Rishonim to explain this. The Torah basically says that there are two reasons, probably, why this custom emerged. Number one, because often, maybe most often, people's hands literally are not clean in the morning. That we know that before we can actually recite brachos properly, we have to prepare ourselves by washing our hands, by washing our face, by getting ready in the morning. And says the Torah over here, Lefisha Eina Yadayim Nekios, most people, their hands are not clean enough, they're not prepared and ready, so therefore, we hold off, we don't do it when we are home. Another reason that the Torah brings down is because often you have people in shul who don't know how to recite these brachos. And so therefore, if we're going to allow people to just recite at home, people aren't going to know how. So therefore, they come to shul, and they hear Berachos Shachar, and everybody's saying it together. Now, both of these are very, on the one hand, very compelling reasons. I mean, they make a lot of sense. On the other hand, we can push back a little bit and say, yeah, but are any of these reasons necessarily so compelling that we should completely distort, as the Rambam seems to imply, almost corrupt the vision that Chazal had over here? You know, Chazal really wanted us to say these brachos, the takana was to say them at precise moments. And here we're going ahead and we're just throwing them all together, exactly as the Rambam says not to do. So we'll have people wash their hands at home first. Right? We'll come up with another way that people in shul who don't know the brachos can be accommodated. Why go ahead and completely modify this takana from the way it was supposed to be? So I'd like to share a very, very fascinating approach that I heard from my Mechutin Rabbi Moshe Benevitz, a very, very beautiful suggestion, which I hope, if I say it over properly, will allow each and every one of us to walk away with a deeper appreciation, not only about these brachos, but perhaps what Shacharis is all about and the opportunity it affords us. So we can say like this, what is the idea of these brachos? Like what is the purpose of the Berachos HaShachar that we say in the morning? So on the most simple level, we could say that they are there for us to express our praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the things that he gives us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give me the ability to open my eyes, to move my hands, to put my feet on the ground, to get dressed. So in recognition of all these great gifts that you have afforded me, I say thank you, thank you, thank you. Pokeach ivri matu asum, zokev kefufim, etc., etc. And that is fine. However, Rabbi Benevitz suggested that maybe there's a deeper way to understand it. And it's based on a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, says the following. Le'olam yisader adam shvachu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'achar kach yisfalo. That before a person davens, the first thing he should do is be mesader shvachu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Literally, he should prepare and offer in sort of an order, if you will, a sequence, the shevach, the words of praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this actually instructs and informs the way in which Shemoneh Esrei is built. It is structured in a way which begins with Shevach and then only afterwards the words of Bakasha follow. But perhaps we can understand this on somewhat of a deeper level. And that is that before we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything, before we begin to think about the things that we need, we focus on the things that we have and specifically the opportunities in our life that we have been given to live our lives, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and simply to just be good, fulfilled, productive human beings. La'olam yisadar adam shachar shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that before we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmai and assistance and all the brachos in the world, we should appreciate what he has already done for us. And more importantly, we should appreciate the opportunities that we have been given to serve him. Perhaps the purpose of tefillah of Berachos HaShachar, and we can extend this beyond to shachris in general, is that it gives us the ability to focus upon all that we have, all that I need to do in the day that follows, and all that I can accomplish in this world. If we do not put that into perspective, if we do not take it the moment at the beginning of every day and say, look what I've been given, look at the tools that I have been offered, look in the blessings that I have been once again generously and graciously blessed with by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now how can I take this? And how could I use this to serve him? How could I use this to make the world a better place? That is the sort of cheshbon, that is the sort of introspection, the calculation, the sort of daily planning, if you will, you know, which is an idea that we are familiar with in sort of a secular sense, the idea of planning one's day. But we had it first. Chazal tell us, you have to do daily planning. Daily planning means that I have been given opportunities. I've been given gifts in this world which enabled me to have, hopefully, Be'ezras Hashem, a productive day. And so therefore, maybe we could say that the purpose of Tefillah Shacharis is primarily to be Mesader Adam Shvachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that we can go ahead and sort of put it all out there and say, this is what I have been given. And how could I appropriately use that and apply it in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and making the world, like I said, a better place? Those two are really one and the same. Now, the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hei tells Tanu Rabbanan, a person is not permitted to derive benefit from this world without a blessing. Ma'al. A person who does this has committed an act which we call mi'ila. Mi'ila is when a person steals from Hekdesh, from something which is sacred, something which belongs to the temple, to the Beis Hamikdash. But the idea over here is it's not just theft, it's misappropriation. It's taking something which has a very sanctified purpose, taking something which wasn't really intended for my personal use exclusively. And if I take that and I use it for myself, that's a form of m'ila. Everything in the world is hekdesh. Everything in the world, our Chazal are saying over here, has potentially a very, very great sacred purpose. And if I take of this, if I'm nene from this without a bracha, what that essentially means is if I'm partaking of this in a purely selfish way, so that's a form of m'ila, it's a form of misappropriation. I know that we're not necessarily holding by Yom Kippur at this moment, but for those of you who remember, it is customary before Yom Kippur to recite Tefillah Zakah. And what it comes to my mind is in this very powerful prayer that we say, we go through so many different parts of the human anatomy, reviewing, in this case, our brains and our hearts and our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our tongue and our lips and our throat and our feet and our legs and everything and our hands. And we're going through all of these parts of our body and we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, you gave me a brain. You have given me the ability to use my brain in the most incredible way and to go ahead and to think and to use my brain power to go ahead and to help and to build and to do wonderful things with. And what have I done? Vaniti mesil sambi, ruhur machshava zoros. I have taken this brain power. I have taken the seat of my mind, of my thoughts and emotion. What have I done? I've corrupted them. You've given me eyes which give me the ability to go ahead and to look at Dvarim Shebedusha, to study, to learn, to do wonderful things, whatever I've done. I have, again, misappropriated them. I've used them in a way which shows that I don't appreciate the gifts in life that I've been given. You have given me ears, Lishma Divrei Kedusha, but Divrei Torah. Oily, Kiti Mesios, on Lishma Divrei Nevalav, Loshon Hara, V'chad Dvar Masurim. And I have used them in a way which shows that I don't appreciate these gifts that I've been given. The same with my mouth, and the same with my hands and my legs, etc. In other words, what we are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this case on Erev Yom Kippur, but on a certain level, we are to do a similar cheshbon each and every day. Look what you have given me. I have been so blessed. You have given me so much. How can I use this to have a most productive day? So I believe that it could be very beneficial to each and every one of us if we start our day, not just davening Tefillah Shacharis, but with this goal in mind. One of the goals of Tefillah Shacharis is to help ground us for that day, in which I can be mesader, I can offer, literally an accounting, take an inventory of all the gifts of my life, all the blessings that I've been given, and say, okay, now how can I use this in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can I use this to make the world a better place? What an amazing way to start the day. This is, you know, the ultimate spiritual daily planning. That's Shacharis. Now let's focus for a few minutes on Mincha. Says the Gemara in Brachos, that Vavim in Beis, Amar B'chel B'am Rav Huna, La'olam, Yehi Adam Zayir B'Tfilas Mincha. A person should be very careful when it comes to the performance of Tfilas Mincha. Sharei Eliyahu lo nene le B'Tfilas Mincha. Eliyahu Anavi, at that famous moment, that standoff with the Navi, Baal is described in the 18th chapter of Malachim Aleph. Vayi Baalos HaMincha, Vayigashi Eliyahu Anavi, Vayomer, that Eliyahu approached HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of all the people, and he said, Aneni Hashem, Aneni. This was a very, very powerful, dramatic moment. And when did this happen? Mincha time? So says the Gemara, La'ole mi yadim zahir b'tfilas mincha. So, since Eliyahu HaNavi had such success, b'shas mincha, we should also be very, very careful b'tfilas mincha. What does this mean? There must be sort of a deeper level over there. If we take a look at the psukim, Vayi ba'alos ha-mincha v'yigash Eliyahu HaNavi v'nom Hashem Elokei Avim Yitzchak v'Yisrael Hayom Yivada ki ato Elokim v'Yisrael v'ani avdecho b'dvarcho asisi eskola dvarim o'ele. Eliyahu is trying to prove himself as a Navi and trying to convince Bnei Yisrael, who at this point are still poseach hashtei ha-se'ifim, they can't make up their minds, they're not fully committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's trying to show, look, God runs the world. Aneini Hashem aneini, v'yeidu am hazeh, ki ata Hashem Elokim v'ata sibos es libam acharonis. Everybody will come to recognize that you are God. You are the only force in the world. And then this fire comes down from the heavens and consumes not only the wood and not only the offering, but destroys everything, including the water, and everything is gone. So it's a great moment, and everybody stands up and they say, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. So how do we understand what is so special about Tfilas Mincha in particular? So there are two beautiful explanations that I have heard. One, I heard this quoted years ago in the name of the Rashba. Unfortunately, I have not succeeded in finding this in the writings of the Rashba. I'm sure it exists somewhere, but I'm going to say it over the way I heard it. But unfortunately, I haven't saw it inside. But a beautiful idea. And that is that the Nevi'ei Baal believed that the sun had independent power and God does not control the world. That was their belief. So therefore, Eliyahu waited until the end of the day when the sun was setting, demonstrating that precisely when their God was waning, at that moment the fire would descend, proving God's control and dominion over the world. And what does it have to do with us when we daven mincha? Well, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays a very active role in our life, and we can certainly appreciate, most people can appreciate, that before the day begins, when we daven tefillah shachris, and we are, again, appreciating the blessings that I've been given. And once again, thank you that I woke up and I'm able to get out of bed and I'm able to begin my day. Wonderful. So thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for all the gifts that you have given me. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my family. Wonderful. Now I'm going to work. And when I'm going to work, God, I'm very, very busy. You don't understand. I'm a very successful attorney. I'm a very, very sought after doctor, and I spend a lot of time with my patients, and especially when I'm in the operating room, I really, really cannot be disturbed. And so therefore, I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please allow me to do what I need to do during the day, and then when the day is over, Be'ezras Hashem, we will reunite, and I'll come and I'll speak to you when I daven Ma'ariv. I don't think anybody actually says this, and hopefully nobody consciously thinks it, but to a certain extent, isn't that what happens? You know, we sort of believe in the concept of the God of Shachris and the God of Ma'ariv. But the God of Mincha is one that very often literally gets in the way. I mean, it may depend on when the sun sets, what time of the year it is. But right now, when anybody who works 9 to 5, you're going to have to interrupt your workday in order to go ahead and to daven Mincha. It's a powerful reminder that we don't merely daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our health and for our and to bring Mashiach and to rebuild Yerushalayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides me with my livelihood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives me the ability, the chachma, the bina, the das, to be able to go ahead and to navigate my way through all situations I encounter in life, not only when I'm in the Beis Medrash. The Pasuk of Parshas Eikev says, V'zachaytos Hashem Elokecha, ki hu anosein lecha koach lasos chayo. You should remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives you the koach, the strength, the power, lasos chayo, to do great things. And the Targum Onkelos on that pasuk says, "B'titka yas Hashem Elokecha, arehu yoiv lecha eitza lemiknei nichsin." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives me the idea, puts this idea in my head to go ahead and to purchase this particular property, to go ahead and to acquire this particular stock. Right? Really? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu know about stocks? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu know about real estate? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in bringing Mashiach to the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in healing the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really know all that much about real estate, right? Comes along the Pasuk and says, V'zachartos Hashem Elokecha, ki hu anosin lecha koach lasos chayil. Says the Targum Onkelos, that's Pashup Shad of the Pasuk. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives me the ability to make my business decisions during the day. The Halalah Gadol that we say every Shabbos morning, when we go and we count all the great miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed throughout our history, the wars that were fought on our behalf, taking us out of Mitzrayim, splitting the Yam Suf, and what do we say at the end? Nosein lechem l'chol basar, ki li'olam chasta. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for the nizim gluyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives what? Make sure that I have the ability to go ahead and to bring home the money to put food on my family's table. So in this regard, Tfilas Mincha really is sort of the quintessential prayer. It's for that reason why Rav Huna teaches the Olam Yehi Adam Zoyer B'Tfilas Mincha. Eliyahu understood that he was speaking to people who didn't understand that even when the sun sets, even when the forces in the universe that we mistakenly attribute some independent power to, when they're not there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only Koach in the world. Now, this is the first approach that I want to share. There's another explanation. In some ways, perhaps this is even, I would say, even a little more simple and maybe even a little more obvious. And this is in the Torah. The Torah writes that when it's time to daven mincha, a person should daven u'ma'od tzarech li'zoyer ba, because Rav Chabal teaches the name Rav Huna l'olam yizara d'metfilas mincha, etc. The Hatam says the Torah, why? B'pnei shetfilas hashachar zmani yadua baboker b'kuma mivitasa. Because when do I daven shachar? In the morning, when I get up. Yispalu miyad kodem shiyatoru b'asakov. When does a person daven? Before he gets busy, before he gets involved in whatever it is he's going to do during the day. V'chein shel erev v'layla, the same is true when it comes to Mariv. When does a person daven? At a time that he's panoi, at a time that he is now free of all of his responsibilities, right? I turn my phone off, I'm done for the day, I'm just going to go ahead and learn until I go to sleep. Wonderful! That's when I daven Mariv. Avol shel mincha shi be'emtza hayom. Mincha comes in the middle of the day. Smack in the middle of the day, but oju torud, when a person is busy and preoccupied, what does a person have to do? He has to take a few moments to pull himself back, to step away, to withdraw from that place, and to say, I need to remind myself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I need to remind myself that I am an Eved Hashem. I need to remind myself, not also at such a moment, but precisely at such a moment, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon HaKol. And for that reason, says the Torah, Mincha is so important. And it's interesting because it's the shortest davening. So you would think it's the shortest tefillah. How important can it be? Says the Gemara, the Gemara doesn't really say it's the most important, but the Gemara seems to give us that impression. On a certain level, it's the most important one. The Gemara doesn't say, L'olam yadam zahir b'tefillah shachar tefillah marav. The Torah seems to be suggesting, because of course you're going to be zahir then. Of course you're going to be zahir shachar tefillah marav. That's the time to daven. But mincha, that's not the time to daven. It is. That's when I have to be very, very careful and focused to daven. Dafka, because I'm torud, because I'm distracted. The Torah Tamima actually, in the Sefer Tosefes Baruch, explains that this is why it's called mincha. He wonders, why is it that Tfilas Mincha has that name? It's sort of a funny name. Shacharis is connected to the word shachar, which of course represents the morning. Same with Arvis, with Mariv, Erev, but Mincha doesn't describe a particular time in the day. So he basically says that Chazal point out that when it comes to the Karban Mincha, the Karban Mincha is a Mincha which the Torah associates with the person who brings the Karban Mincha. The Torah calls the Nefesh as opposed to an Adam, and the Gemara basically says that the Karban Mincha is brought also by a person with limited resources, a person who doesn't necessarily have the ability to give a lot because he doesn't have a lot. But what he gives with all of his heart. And that's very special. And therefore, that's what's unique about the Korban Mincha, says the Torah Tamima, based on the Torah, the same idea is true when it comes to Tfilas Mincha. Because again, I don't really have a lot to give during Mincha time. Very often I'm busy, I have a lot going on, and I could take 10 minutes. I could quickly run across the street and catch a minion, but, you know, that's all I have. And says the Torah Tamima, that's a lot. That's like Nefesh Kisakriv Mincha. That's the soul of the person. I'm giving you what I have. Okay, it may not be a lot. It's true I may be preoccupied and busy with many other things, but I'm giving you something that is very precious and dear and near to me. So that's the concept of mincha. And what about mariv? What about mariv? So I'm watching the clock and I'm seeing that I'm running out of time over here. If shachris is about sort of taking stock and inventory in the morning and to realize, wait a second, I have so many opportunities to achieve and accomplish so much today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed me with so many gifts. And it is my responsibility to make sure that I use them thoughtfully, that I appropriate them wisely and in a responsible way, in a way that reflects faithfulness, in which way that I reflect that I take my, if you will, my fiduciary responsibility towards the Balabas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has given me, he has given me as a pikadon, all of these gifts which enable me to serve him. And so I really, really want to have a productive day. That's shachris. Mincha is, as we see, la'olam yehi'adam zayir b'tfilas mincha, smack in the middle of the day. When I'm busy, when I'm preoccupied, at a time that I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no shlita, no dominion in this particular place, I'm going to remind myself that no, who knows in lechem l'chol basar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides for all, and even, if not especially at such a time, I need to remind myself. And Maariv, I would say without any fancy Torah, it should be obvious. Maariv Arvis, which comes at the end of the day, is when a person does a din v'cheshbon, how did that day go? How did I perform? What did I do and what could I do better? Again, wherever you go to for your daily planning, for your motivation to live a productive, organized, meaningful life, one in which you're able to carry out the tasks and to meet all of your obligations and to keep your commitments. You know, again, everybody is going to tell you that at the end of the day, you need to do a review. You need to do a cheshbon. How'd I do? And that is the goal. That is the purpose of Tfilas Maariv. Now, I want to share with you, as I told you, if we have time too, if not just one other approach to sort of understand conceptually Shachris Mincha Maariv. Here we're going to turn to Rabbi Sachs and remind you, I'm sure you haven't forgot, that Avram was the one who introduced Shachris, Yitzchak was the one who introduced Mincha, and Yaakov Maariv. And Rabbi Sachs focuses on that in a most unique way. He writes, the characteristic mood of the different times of the day is also reflected in the lives of the three fathers. In other words, Rabbi Sachs is going to remind us that morning, afternoon, and evening are three times of the day that have their own unique mood. There's a mood that characterizes that time of the day. Avram is mourning the dawn of a new faith. It was he who broke his father's idols, recognizing the inner contradictions of polytheism and paganism. His religious career began with a journey away from home, birthplace, and his father's house to a new and unknown destination. Avram represents beginning, a new chapter in the religious history of mankind. Avram Avinu was Mesakein Tefillah Shachris, meaning he was a trailblazer. He was the one to go ahead and to recognize the importance of a new start, the dawn of a new civilization. Isaac, Yitzchak, is afternoon. There is nothing spectacular about the afternoon. There is no qualitative change from dark to light or day to night. Instead, there is a slow transition, an almost imperceptible shift. Yitzchak is the bridge between day and night, between Avram and Yaakov, two lives fraught with drama. His own life is relatively uneventful and passive. He is not the prime mover of events, yet without a bridge, we cannot cross from one domain to another. If Avram is the iconoclast, Yitzchak represents the quiet courage of continuity, without which the entire project of the covenant would die. That is Yitzchak Tfilas Mincha. And Yaakov is night. He sees his great vision of the latter angels at night. He struggles with an unknown adversary at night. He ends his days, as we're going to read in this week's Parsha, in exile at the beginning of the long, dark night of slavery. Yaakov's great strength is that he does not let go. He is born holding his brother's heel. He refuses to let go to the stranger wrestling within him. If Avram is originality and Yitzchak is continuity, then Yaakov represents tenacity. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and such a powerful perspective. What does it mean that Avram instituted Shachris and Yitzchak Mincha and Yaakov Maariv? Avram lived a life of Shachris. Yitzchak lived a life of Mincha, and Yaakov lived a life of Maariv. And before we go on and read a little more with Rabbi Sachs, I want you to understand and appreciate, if it's not obvious, that perhaps it is true that for those of you who are listening right now, you may be thinking to yourself, you know, I also have sort of a Shachris life. I have a Mincha life. I have a Maariv life. In all likelihood, what we all can experience and what we can all share and relate to is that there are times in life, there are certain times, there are moments in my life in which I am experiencing a Shachris time. Other times I am experiencing a Mincha time, and other time it is a Maariv time. There are times where things are just bright, where things are looking like there's just tremendous potential and promise and optimism. There are moments of Shachris. It's not only at times of youth, not necessarily. Sometimes one's youth can be very difficult and tumultuous. And the Shachris, the sun rises later. And then there are times, these intermediary in between times of life, what we're calling the afternoons of life, in which we're just trying to sort of hold everything together to serve as a bridge of continuity. And then there are moments, undoubtedly, moments of night, moments of gullus, of personal exile, of wandering, of just feeling a sense of just being lost and wandering aimlessly. And the message of Maariv is to hold on. Yaakov spent his entire life holding on. Yaakov represents tenacity. That is Tfilas Ma'ariv. He points out, Rabbi Sachs, beautifully, that the verbs associated with each are also different. Avram rises early in the morning and he stands, right? You remember that? Vayashkem Avram baboker. He stood there. B'malkom asher omad sham. And he, in that place where he stood previously, when it comes to prayer, he is the initiator, acknowledging that he is all but, as the Pasuk tells us, off of Ephraim, dust and ashes. He nonetheless utters the most audacious prayer of all time. Shall the judge of the earth not do justice? Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yasa mishpat. This is the prayer of Amida, a certain boldness to be able to stand and to initiate. Yaakov, by contrast, encounters. It is not Nihi who seeks God in his flight from home, but God who seeks him. The phrase that the Torah uses before Yaakov is his vision of the angelic ladder is Vayifka b'malkum, which in Rabbinic Hebrew can be read, he bumped into God. But there are spiritual experiences we have which are in which we are least expecting them. When we are alone, afraid, thinking of something else altogether. And that was Yaakov's vision of prayer. And then there is a third kind of prayer. Yitzchak is meditating in the field. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. But the word sikh in modern Hebrew means not only meditation, but also and primarily conversation. When the Talmud says in the context of Yitzchak, ein sikha el tfila, we could translate this phrase as conversation as a form of prayer. And in a profound sense, it is so. Prayer is a conversation between heaven and earth, but conversation is also a prayer. For in true conversation, writes Rabbi Sachs, I open myself up to the reality of another person. I enter his or her world. I begin to see things from a perspective not of my own. In the touch of two selves, both are changed. A genuine human conversation is therefore a preparation for and a microcosmic version of the act of prayer. For in prayer, I attend to the presence of God, listening as well as speaking, opening myself up to a reality other and infinitely vaster than my own, and I become a different person as a result. Prayer is not a monologue, but a dialogue. And as I read more and more, it feels more like a monologue, so I'm going to stop right here. The sheets are going to be available to anybody who wants them. You can reach out to me personally, or they'll be posted on YU Torah, so you can download them and read them there from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs at Chorin Levracha. But such a beautiful way of capturing the essence of Tefillah Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv, what makes them so unique as being associated with the one who initiates, who introduces Shachris Avram and Mincha Yitzchak and Ma'ariv Yaakov, but understanding how these tefillos represented the ultimate and most real and genuine expression of connection to the Rabbonu Shalom, specifically from these individuals because of what they experienced in their life. And finally, I want to conclude tonight with one additional thought. There is a pasuk, most are familiar with it. It comes from the tefillah that we say, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, from Tehillim, Perek Tzadi Beis, L'hagid baboker chasdecha ve'emunascha b'leilos. That the pasuk says that in the morning, we tell, we speak, we are magid, we describe, we declare the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and b'leilos, it's not chasdecha, but it's emunascha. It's the emunah, the faith in God. Rav Asher Weiss, in a mimer over here, explains that Shachris, which again is recited in the morning, when it is light outside, it is a time in which Midas Chesed is reflected in the world. We feel the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brings it back to Avram Avinu, of course, who is known and associated with Midas HaChesed. Titan Nemes Liyakov, Chesed Liavram. The whole idea that the bris of Avram was the bris of Gimel Chasadim. So, in the morning, what are we? We are lahagid baboker chazdecha. And Tfilas Mincha is a time of din. Later in the day, towards the evening, it is the time, he quotes the Zohar over here, the dina takifo shalto v'chol dinan misarin. This is a time where there is a greater sense of God's judgment in the world. It is a difficult time, a time of uncertainty. And Yitzchak comes and he's Masake in Tfilas Mincha. Yitzchak, as the Gemara tells us, Shayis Amidas Amidas Adin, the concept of Pachad Yitzchak. And the Tfilah of Laila, that is the Tfilah of Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu, who lived at a time of Galus, Yaakov Avinu, who represents the survival of the Jew in Galus, so taught us the importance of davening at night, the importance of Emunascha Balelos. And he quotes in the Meshech Chachma, points out in this past week's Parsha Vayigash, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to Avram, I'm sorry, he calls to Yaakov at night, he calls to Yaakov, Yaakov. He calls him twice, and this happened also in Parsha Vayetze. He said, we don't find this by the other Avos. He calls them at nighttime. And the idea over here is laharush af belayla becheshkas hagalus shorish shchinim Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu would call to Yaakov Avinu at night because Yaakov did have many tkufas in his life which felt like nighttime, and to say that I am here with you, anochi eredimcha, I am here with you, I am not leaving you, and that's the idea of emunas chabalelos yancha Hashem biyom tzara yisagev chashem elokei Yaakov. That a time that we are experiencing the pain and the difficulty and the uncertainty, cheshkas halayla, the difficulty of galus, it is Elokei Yaakov she nigla elav balayla. And finally, Rav Kook over here in the last source over here in source number 19, so Rav Kook explains that actually there are different ways of looking at the cycle, the daily cycle. You know, we've presented everything tonight, Shachris Mincha Maariv. I think the title of the shiur was Morning, Afternoon, and Evening, Morning, Afternoon, and Night. And that's typically the way we relate to the day, because after all, we wake up in the morning, and that's a new, fresh start to the day. But we know that in halachic terms, the day actually begins in the evening. So really, for all intents and purposes, it's Maariv, Shachris, and Mincha. So he points out that it's important to remember that it is helpful sometimes to see the morning as preceding the night, and it is also helpful sometimes to see the night as being that which precedes the morning. And the way he explains this is, he said, it is only when we can achieve a heightened sense of amuna at night that we can really appreciate the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the boker, in the morning. It's a very, very profound idea. And it's not necessarily logical or obvious. Most would assume that no, if we have been the fortunate beneficiaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed in life, so then when we need it most, we can draw upon the memories of that chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon us, and I can have a moon. And that is true. He acknowledges that over there. There is such a benefit in having such an attitude or perspective in life. But the opposite is also true. And that is that at times we appreciate so much more the chesed that we have if we can develop a true sense of amuna dafka at a time when it is very, very dark. And he points out that the time of the night that is darkest is dafka the early, early morning hours, before the crack of dawn. That's when it is so dark outside. It is the moments like that that we really, really need to tap into the emunas chabalelos in order that we can then properly be lahagid baboker chasdecha. And so therefore, to understand and to appreciate, Rav Kook says that the Shachris, the Mincha, Maariv, the Maariv, the Shachris, the Mincha, the Maariv, the Shachris, however you want to look at it, there's an important sequence there, but it's to understand, and again, to highlight that these are moments in life. We have moments in life that are Maariv moments, Shachris moments, Mincha moments. We have to experience them from where we are at that point in time, to recognize that the trailblazers of Tefillah, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each dedicated themselves throughout their entire life, but specifically to introducing to the world a special tefillah, a special point of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these times, moments in which I'm feeling overwhelmed with the chesed, with the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also moments when I'm feeling alone, when I'm feeling the darkness of night, when I feel like I'm wandering in Golus, and I don't know where I am. At moments like that, that's Ve'emunascha Balelos. And so therefore, each and every one of us who have the opportunity, Baruch Hashem, to daven three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, it's not just that we're doing the same thing three times. Shachris has its own function and its own unique set of goals. So does Mincha, as does Maariv. But just as importantly, understanding Shachris, Mincha, Maariv, and not only three points in the day, but three different points in our life that don't necessarily come in that order. And it's not that we only have three moments in our life and that's it. But we are constantly going in and out of different tekufos. So Shachris Mincha Maariv, we hope and pray that many of us should be zocheh halavai to have lives that reflect much more Shachris than Maariv. But there are going to be moments and we're going to feel the difficulty of being in a place that feels like it's night, and to understand that we have, even in these moments, we've been given the gift, the tools to be able to know how to experience this through the prism of Hashgacha, how to be able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how to be able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak with Him, as Rabbi Sack said, not only a monologue, but a dialogue, so that it's not only Lahagid Boker Chasdecha, but also Vemunascha Balelos. I look forward to continuing with you 2 weeks from tonight. I originally scheduled a week from tonight, the last in our series, but I have a wedding, which I didn't know at the time, Baruch Hashem, next Monday night. So I will not be able to give the shiur then. So please expect Be'ezus Hashem 2 weeks from tonight, the final shiur in the series. I thank you so much for joining me. Everybody have a wonderful night. Thank you.